If you can grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. Let's review what we studied last week and begin in verse 1. Then as they approached Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one has yet ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it back here." Then they went away and found a colt tied to the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of the bystanders were there saying to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. They brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches, which they had cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem, came to the temple, and after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. On the next day, when they left Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to it to see if perhaps he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. We are in the book of Mark, chapter 11. We are talking about the presentation of the servant in the book of Mark. We're talking about four different presentations, okay? The first one was last week, which we normally call Palm Sunday, where Jesus rides in to Jerusalem on a donkey. We talked last week how that is a presentation that everyone in the crowd should realize what that means, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Should be no doubt. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Today, we're going to find a second identity of Jesus Christ in the passages we're going to look at, in the verses we're going to look at. And you will see another presentation of Jesus Christ. And you will be identifying Jesus Christ with God. Now, I need to share with you the honesty of my occupation. A lot of pastors skip these verses. A lot of pastors will not preach these three verses we're going to preach today. A lot of pastors see a problem in the book of Mark with these three verses. They have a theology that these three verses will not fit into and will not make sense. And matter of fact, will contradict their theology. So they skip it and don't preach it. This is not a symbolic story. This is not a parable story. This is the strong teaching of God's theology. This is not the average pastor's theology. This deals with the false promise of leaves. and tells you about God's theology. Many pastors will take the actions of parables in Luke chapter 13 and apply it to this verse. And again, when you take one parable and apply it to another theological passage, the contrast you make between the two will be wrong. This is not a parable. This is strong theology from God. And I would be sinning if, as your pastor, I skipped this passage. You need to know the theology of this passage. And if it steps on your toes, that's okay, because God wants your attention here. So here we go. Verse 12. Mark chapter 11. On the next day. Mark helps you identify what day of the week it is. Everybody said in unison, it is Monday. Thank you for all shouting it out. We are on Monday. We're done with Palm Sunday. It's Palm Monday, okay? We are now talking about Monday. It seems to be a day where Jesus gets hungry. When he had left Bethany, he became hungry. He left Bethany. In other words, he went back to Bethany, and he probably stayed in Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house and stayed with them probably. We don't know, but probably. And then he left. And the reading here and the way it's written here, it seems to be the first watch of the day between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So he left early to go back to Jerusalem and to start his Monday. We will find out he's got a lot of things to do on Monday, but he starts it early. He leaves. What happened early Monday morning outside Jerusalem? That's the first question this morning that we're going to deal with. What happened outside Jerusalem on Monday morning? First thing I want you to notice, Jesus Christ was fully human and has a right to be hungry. Jesus Christ shows himself to be fully human and has a right to be hungry. He shows himself to be human. This is a presentation of the Messiah. He is showing himself that he is human and that he has the same needs that you have. Getting up early in the morning, he goes and gets out of bed and somehow probably goes to pray and then leaves and gets his 12 disciples and he leaves and goes on a 2-mile trip to Jerusalem. And it says he gets hungry. Now, what's that normally mean? He's hungry. His stomach is growling. He maybe skipped breakfast. Maybe they were still asleep. Maybe they didn't have time to make breakfast for him. Or if they made breakfast for him, it was a normal Jewish breakfast, and he was still hungry after eating that breakfast. He either eats or doesn't eat. And he walks. He doesn't seem like he gets very far in the road. And he is hungry. He sees a fig tree. He sees it. He recognizes it. And he sees leaves. He figures there will be something to eat on that fig tree. He shows himself to be human, just like you and just like me. He presents himself. He has the normal human concerns that we have. Verse 13. Switch the handout. Next page on the handout. Verse 13. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see it, if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Here he has a problem. His stomach is growling. He's hungry. Maybe skipped breakfast. Didn't get enough at breakfast. Whatever had happened, he was hungry. His stomach is growling, and he goes to a fig tree. He wants to pick from the fig tree. He sees the leaves, and there's no fruit on the fig tree. He's got a problem. What sin, question is, what sin bothers Jesus when he sees it in action? What sin bothers him? You need to realize that we have a sin problem being pictured here. There's a sin problem being described or illustrated by the fig tree. What's the problem? Jesus Christ is not pleased by things or people that do not produce the fruit that they are designed to produce. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ is not pleased by things that people or by things and people that do not produce the fruit that they are designed to produce. Okay? I don't know how you evaluate your week, but I can tell you how Jesus evaluates your week. He evaluates your week on how much fruit you produced for the kingdom of God. How much fruit you produced for God. How much fruit was produced in your life by the Holy Spirit. He's concerned about fruit. He's concerned about the fig tree, and he's concerned about his disciples. He shows himself to be a fruit inspector. He presents himself as a fruit inspector, that he's concerned about your fruit. Fig trees. I don't know if there are fig trees in America. Are there fig trees in America? I've never seen a fig tree. I don't know. But I've learned about fig trees in Israel. Fig trees were everywhere in Israel. Everywhere in Israel. Very common in Israel. This one is one fig tree by itself, by the side of the road. And Jesus is hungry. In the Old Testament, we see fig trees all over the place. If I preach to you every Sunday the Old Testament passages, we would come up with fig trees over and over and over and over again. And you would go, oh no, pastor's preaching on fig trees again. I'm not going to church. Okay? I don't want to hear it again. In the Old Testament, there are fig trees, fig trees, fig trees, fig trees. First example of a fig tree is it's related and symbolizes Israel. A fig tree stands for Israel. Hosea 9, Nahum 3, Zechariah 3, just to touch the iceberg, tip of the iceberg. Fig trees are a picture of the promised land. When you talk about the promised land, you're talking about fig trees. Fig trees at a minimum, bear two crops every year of figs. Some in the right places in Israel, they bear so many figs that it seems to be year-round they produce figs. According to Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 13, which says, I will surely snatch them away, declares the Lord. There will be no grapes on the vine and no figs on the fig tree. Their leaf will wither, and I will have given them, what I have given them will pass away. A lack of fig trees in the Old Testament is a sign that God has judged your land. If there are no figs on the fig tree, you can't expect to think about God judging us as a nation. Judgment. Many verses on judgment. Many verses on judgment. Micah chapter 4, verse 4. Each of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree, with no one to make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Fig trees were a sign of blessing with fruit. If you have fruit in your fig tree, you can say, I have been blessed by God. If you have no figs on your fig tree, you say, I've been judged by God. That's the Old Testament. Jesus comes up to a fig tree by the side of the road. He found leaves. He found leaves, but no figs. Israel, at this time in their national history, you could say, had plenty of leaves. They had seen their relationship with God blessed by the providence of God. God blessed them, blessed them, blessed them. It's seen over and over and over again in the prophets and in the gospels that God is blessing them. But they had leaves, but they had no fruit. They had leaves, but they had no fruit. The leaves are what caught Jesus' attention. He's thinking about food. He sees leaves on a fig tree. He thinks there's got to be fruit on that fig tree. Leaves are the outward sign that a fig tree has fruit. Understand what happens. First off, you get fruit, and then you get leaves on a fig tree. If a fig tree doesn't have fruit, you don't look. It doesn't have leaves, you don't look for fruit because it won't be there. No leaves, no fruit. If a fig tree has leaves, you expect to be fruit. Matter of fact, if your basket is big enough, the average fig tree will give you 50 items of fruit. And you can pick and pick and pick and eat and eat. Israel has had 4 years with Jesus Christ walking their land. They have had blessings from the Messiah over and over again. They've had 4,000 fed by him. They had 5,000 fed by him. They had demons cast out. They had miracles given. They have had blessings upon blessings upon blessings. They have the providence of God blessing them. They have leaves, but they have no fruit. On this occasion, Jesus uses this for the illustration of his last Monday before the cross. How is a religious hypocrite like a barren fig tree? They look good from a distance, yet they have no fruit. How does this apply to us? A lot of people claim to be Christians. Matter of fact, Many people, because they're born in America, claim to be Christians. And some of them actually look like they have leaves. But you look closely at them, there'll be no fruit. Some of them even go to church. Some of them either in a church somewhere today, but there's no fruit in their tree. They look good from a distance, but they can't handle a close inspection. Notice at the end of the verse, it says, not the season for figs. It's not the season for figs. That's a very interesting phrase. Not the season. You have to understand fig trees, and everybody does in that day and age, so they don't explain it for us. Let me explain it for us. After wintertime, it loses its fruit and it loses its leaves. The first thing that starts growing on a fig tree are called pargim. Pargim is a bud that grows on a fig tree with no leaves. Pargim grows, and guess what? You can eat it. But technically, it's not a fig. It grows on a fig tree first before the leaves come. It is called the fruit of the poor man. He eats it, the poor eat it. A pargim. The buds of the pargims, the buds fall off. And then what comes next on the branches, guess what? Is figs. You got pargim, then you got leaves, then you got figs. When you got figs, you don't have pargim because it fell off. But if you have a tree, a fig tree with no leaves, you can look for pargim and it may be there. And if you're poor enough and you don't have food anywhere, you will pick one and you'll eat it. And you'll be satisfied eating it. Leaves promise a large crop of buds. If you have leaves on a fig tree, you should have a huge amount of pargim. And you can eat them. Jesus expected to find buds to eat on the tree before the season of figs. Figs come later. Now, understand what's going on. This fig tree is deceiving people. This fig tree has leaves and has no pargim. The poor man can't eat from this tree. Verse 14. He said to it, Jesus said to the fig tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening. Here comes the judgment. What right did Jesus have to judge the fig tree? What right does he have to judge a fig tree? Why should he be allowed to judge a fig tree? I tell you, if you found an apple tree or some lemon tree or some other kind of tree with fruit on it, and you go and quote this verse to it, guess what will happen? Nothing. Jesus judges this fig tree. Jesus has a right to judge the fig tree. Here's the answer. Jesus Christ, being fully God, he was fully man and he was fully God. He has the right to judge anything or anyone. Jesus had the authority to judge because he's fully God. He presents himself as the judge to his disciples. He presents himself to the world as the judge. And the interesting thing he looks for today, like he did then, he looks for fruit. Are you producing fruit? Jesus has authority to judge. It's his creation. He can judge it. He demands that his fig trees produce fruit. And judgment comes to the fig tree. And soon, on Friday, judgment will come to the world, especially to Israel. And the judge is Jesus Christ. The promise of God has brought blessings to Israel, and they responded with no fruit. God's providence has rested upon you sitting in this room, and he wants fruit from you. If he sees no fruit from you, there is one thing coming in the future for you: judgment. Israel responds with no fruit, and we know about 36 years from now that Romans will come in and destroy Jerusalem and scatter the Jews all over the world. Here, Jesus expects to see fruit. In this church, Jesus expects to see fruit. In your Saturday yesterday, he expected in your life to see fruit. If he does, I believe he'll continue to bless you. If he doesn't, I believe that there's only judgment ahead of you. Jesus expects fruit. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 43. 21, 43. Matthew 21, 43. It starts, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you." Who's that you? It's Israel. "The kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it." Fruit comes from members of the kingdom of God. We've talked about the kingdom of God in Mark. We looked at it over and over again. Kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God. I want you to be part of the kingdom of God. I want you to be declaring the kingdom of God. I want you to be sharing the kingdom of God. I want you to be a part of the kingdom of God. How do I know you're a part of the kingdom of God? You produce fruit. You do not produce fruit, my mind says you're not part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was taken away from Israel and given to a people that we call the church, who are producing fruit of the kingdom of God. Fruit comes. Let me help you here. What? How do you make fruit? Fruit comes from being wise enough to do what God wants you to do. By the way, how do you figure that out? It's in the Word of God. Your fruit is produced by walking like Jesus Christ walks. Your fruit is produced by obedience to the Word of Christ, which we find in the Bible. You obey the Word, you bear fruit. If you don't obey the Word of God, guess what happens? You don't bear fruit. Fruit comes from the life of a believer controlled by the Holy Spirit. If you are producing fruit, you can't even take credit for it. You can say it's produced by the Holy Spirit. Israel has leaves, but no fruit. Therefore has a curse upon them from Jesus. In the Old Testament, there are many acts of judgment over and over again in the Old Testament. In the book of Mark, we don't see Jesus judging anything until we get here. And he judges a thing that does not bear fruit. Later in the day, he'll continue to judge things that don't bear fruit. In a few years, judgment will fall upon Israel, 70 AD, and they will face judgment. A lack of faith invites judgment upon you. A few days from now, there'll be a group of people crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And they're showing no fruit. Jesus Christ is able to save you, and he's also able to judge you. He can do both. People can claim to be a fruitful Christian, but if you closely examine their fruit, it's not edible. It's not good. They're fruitless. One of the best blessings you can have in your life is to be fruitful. The saddest curse you can have is to have no fruit in your life. A good day is a fruitful day. A bad day is a fruitless day. Turn to John. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Yes, I know you have it memorized, but I want you to look at it again. John 15. John 15. If it's not highlighted in your Bible, it should be. Here it goes. John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. Get this. Here it comes. I am the vine. Jesus says, I am the vine. He says, you, believers, followers, part of the kingdom of God, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, if abides in me, dwells in me, has a relationship with me, guess what? In him, he will bear a little fruit. Is that what it says? An average amount of fruit. You'll produce much fruit. The Greek term for much means whole bunch. You will not produce a little bit. You will produce much fruit if you abide in Jesus Christ. If you have a relationship with him, if you're producing fruit, guess what you will do tomorrow? Much fruit. It is clear, much fruit and no fruit. No fruit, you're waiting for judgment. Much fruit, it's an indication of you being saved by the grace of God. A person who looks religious needs to repent, or like the fig tree, he'll be punished and judged. Now here, let's talk about it real quick. There is only one thing that will make a sinner fruitful. Only one thing will make a sinner fruitful. Here it comes. Saving faith. That's the only thing that will make your life empty and void into fruit will be saving faith. That's the only thing that will do it. Only thing. Money will not do it. A good marriage will not do it. Good children will not do it. No, 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 no. The only thing that will make your life much fruitful is having saving faith. Then, what makes believers effective? What makes believers effective? What makes believers effective is very easy to understand. It's living faith. It's living faith. Then, guess what happens? You have a church. Either it's dead or it's alive. One or the other, dead or alive. A dead church, guess what? Doesn't have fruitful believers in it. It can't. If you have an alive church, you have a group of people that are living by living faith, and you are producing fruit, abundant fruit, fruit that cannot be held in the sanctuary. Fruit. 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 Israel, with all the leaves it had, had the picture of being fruitful, but they had no fruit. All they had was leaves. Many of you may have just leaves in your life. I'm giving you warning. There's only judgment ahead for you. With leaves and no fruit leads to one conclusion, only one: judgment. Judgment. Turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Yes, I know we preached on this a little while ago. What was it, a couple days ago? I don't know when it was. Mark 7. Mark 7, verse 6. Mark 7, verse 6. Here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. The verse to underline, to star, to put a little happy face on the margin. Here it comes. Verse 6. And Jesus said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me.'" Here's the definition of being a live church or a dead church. Here it is. Either you're a believer or a sinner. Here it comes, the difference between it is your heart. Your heart. Your heart. If your heart is full of pride and you follow the traditions of this world, you have no fruit. If you are listening to false teachers and they call themselves believers, but they're preaching to you something that's not true, you're captive to them and you're having no fruit in your life. If you're following the traditions of Satan, the one thing that will come for you is judgment, the same thing has come for Satan, because he's producing no fruit. He has a bunch of leaves, but no fruit. If you follow the traditions of God, one of the things you'll see in your life, one of the fruits in your life, will be humility. You'll be humble. And that humility will produce fruit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. If you have been saved, there is fruit that comes with salvation. It's redemption. Redemption will produce fruit in your life. If you're saved, automatically you're into the fruit producing phase of your life. 1 Peter 1:8. If you follow the traditions of grace instead of law, you follow grace, and grace produces in your life, guess what? Love, where you love others. That will produce fruit in your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. If you have traditions or legalism that you live by, you will produce absolutely zero fruit. If you try to live part in this world and part in church, it won't work. No fruit. If you try to do God on Sunday and then Satan every other day of the week, there's no fruit in your life. There are two types of hypocrites. The sinner who pretends he's saved. And the way you figure him out is there's no fruit in his life. Then there's a second, a person who's truly saved, but is surrendering to his sin nature and producing more sin than anything else in his life. Claims to be spiritually mature, but is sinning more than he's producing fruit. Your heart is far away. That's what was wrong with the Pharisees. They knew the Bible. They knew the Bible, but their heart was far from God. If your heart yields to the Holy Spirit, that will change your conduct and produce fruit. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now to the God eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be, here it comes, honor and glory. If you give honor and glory this afternoon to God, guess what happens? You're producing fruit for the kingdom of God. Psalm 63, verse 3. Because of your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. If you honor Jesus Christ with your words, you're producing fruit. You're praising God. And then if you are giving glory and honor to Jesus Christ and you're praising him with your words, guess what happens? Your actions will change into fruit producing. And you will not have one fig on your tree. You'll have a harvest of figs. There'll be an overwhelming amount. Overwhelming amount. Here it comes. How would Pastor David apply this to his life? Well, let's think about this. This should be simple. Pastor David would clearly understand how important it is for God to see his children bearing fruit. Okay, here I'm going, the dumbest pastor possible. Duh, what's God want me to do tomorrow? Bear fruit. You have to be not wise to think otherwise. God wants fruit for the kingdom of God. He wants every one of us to produce fruit, giving honor and glory to Jesus Christ. He wants us to produce praise from our lips. He wants a heart that changes and produces fruit. We want to have the attitude that tomorrow I will produce fruit for the kingdom of God. And if a person in this church or outside this church is not producing fruit, they will one day be judged by Jesus Christ. The Bible says it'll happen at the great white throne. And you will be judged and the books will be opened, and I believe you'll be taken through every step of your life where you did not produce fruit for Jesus Christ. And Jesus will close the book and say, well, the evidence is clear. You never knew me. Away with you. Into a lake of fire prepared for Satan and the demons. The Messiah on Sunday comes in with a colt. He comes in humbly. He comes in to praises. Then on Monday morning, he comes in to town and he sees a fig tree with leaves that should have a bumper crop of figs and has nothing. And he does his work as Messiah and judges that fig tree. You want to know why you're having problems in your life? Because you are being judged by Christ. That's why. That's why. Father God, I pray you help us understand how important it is to have fruit in our lives. Thank you, Father, that the first time that Jesus does something wrathful, it is over fruit. It is so important, Father, that we understand that he wants fruit from us, that he wants honor from us, that he wants glory from us, he wants praise from us, because that will produce the fruit he wants to see. I pray, Father, you would help us as we abide with him this week, that we grow in him, that through his Holy Spirit working in our lives, we will produce the fruit that will have an impact for the kingdom of God. Be with us, Father. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.